Money Radio. Thank you for joining us. Pleasure now to welcome Nancy Tingler. Nancy has a long career as a wealth advisor. She's worked as a CEO and CIO. She's overseen the management of tens of billions of dollars globally, and she has been named one of Money Magazine's best women investors. She writes a regular column for the Arizona Republic entitled Your Financial IQ, and she has written a couple of books, and the most recent is The Women's Guide to Successful Investing. The Women's Guide to Successful Investing, Achieving Financial Security and Realizing Your Goals by Nancy Tingler. Nancy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sinclair. Pleasure to be here.
This is your second book. Your first one was New Era Value Investing.
Yes.
Are you a value investor then?
I am, and I talk about how to identify what kind of investor you are in the Women's Guide. But my bias is to own stocks that you can hold on to for a lifetime, and so those tend to be large value characterized companies. So that is my style of investing. Not for everyone, but it turns out to be the best performing style over every time period that the researchers have measured in every capitalization range. So I think it makes sense for a lot of people.
Now, one of the interesting things about the Women's Guide to Successful Investing is I'm not a woman, and I didn't really feel as if I was excluded here.
That's right. I think the opening line says this. Well, this book is for women, which is not to say it is not for men. Not a terribly good grammatical sentence, but the point is the advice is gender neutral. But I feel like women have, if not been left out of the conversation, certainly excused themselves from the conversation. And so that's why I want to help women raise their financial IQs. So you're right. Men can read this book, and many men read my column. Most of the emails I get are from men, frankly. So the discussion and the principles that are introduced are appropriate for everyone. But I wanted to focus on women because I think we need to be more aware of investing in financial matters.
And a bit of that focus was to let us know that women actually control the wealth in this country.
Increasingly, the majority, and it's increasing. And one of the things that happens is still on actuarial tables and in reality, we see that women tend to live longer. So the numbers are that at some point in their life, 90% of women will be responsible for their family's wealth and yet admit that they have no idea or they aren't as educated as they want to be. And that's one of the problems. I feel like it's a financial handicap for women because if we live longer, then we're going to need more money and we're going to need to know what to do with our money. So that's my objective, to make women more aware and more engaged in the process.
So financial literacy has to be one of the primary goals for most women who are more than likely going to be dealing with financial issues in their lifetime.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sinclair. And the thing that I learned when I spent less time managing other people's money and more time driving carpool, I left the business in the mid-2000s, but you never leave because I continued to manage a small amount of money. But I'd meet these really smart women who were either extraordinarily well-educated and or had been very successful in business and continued to be successful, who wanted nothing to do with their financial planning or their weren't financially planning or investing. And that to me is the biggest problem. It's not, the research shows that women make better investors or at the very least make excellent investors. The way we think, the way, the way we process information and our natural aversion to risk turns out to be a benefit. So the research that has been done show women generate returns about 1% per year better than their male counterparts. So I think what I'm encouraging and what I'm hoping is that women will begin to see that this is accessible to them and they're pretty good at it.
That was a very polite way to say that. Natural aversion to risk. In other words, you're saying men are gamblers.
Well, yeah, or they're more competitive. So men tend to trade more. Women, another study I consult and talk about in the book, women tend to do more research and are more inclined to change their opinion when the research shows them to. So I guess it would be like that old saw about men not wanting to ask for directions. Mm-hmm. Women will stop the car, ask for directions, and turn around and go back the way, you know, that they should be going. So it's not better, it's just different. And it turns out that those natural attributes that we have a tendency toward make us good investors.
So men are closed-minded gamblers, and I would take offense to that if it weren't true.
I did not say that.
I said it, but actually it is true.
Yeah, there's an element of that, and that the study that's most quoted is one that says, it's entitled "Boys Will Be Boys: Gender Bias and Overconfidence in Investing," or something. But the other interesting thing I think, though, Sinclair, is that women process they tend to process data left brain to right brain, and they seem to be better at that. Men seem to be better at, you know, within the hemisphere processing. So technical, sequential, very focused. Women tend to not be able to be focused because they have a lot of different issues that they're juggling in their lives. And that also makes for good investors because you're pulling information in from various sources. And so it ends up making a much more informed or broadly informed decision. It's fun, really fun to learn.
Also, your research has shown that the more disciplined approach to investing does work better over time.
Absolutely. And that was my experience as an institutional investor. It remains my experience as a private investor and also someone who writes about investing. And I think my first intelligent investing rule is having a discipline is better than having no discipline at all. So you don't even have to have the best investing discipline, but if you stick to it, you will be rewarded in the markets over time. And now is a perfect time to be talking about that with the volatility and the correction that we're seeing. This is a great time to be disciplined in going in and finding great companies on sale.
Now is not a time to be chasing yield or chasing stocks that may have been beaten down just because they're beaten down.
Right. You want to be super selective in the companies that you acquire. But I share an anecdote in the book about when I started in the business. I was about 3 years into my career, and we had Black Monday, where the market declined 22.5% in one day. And that was obviously, as you know, 1987. Mm-hmm. And then I just provide a table of market returns since then. And the subsequent 12 years were extraordinary. And then we had, you know, 2001, we had some, you know, we had Y2K, we had the internet bubble popping in 99, and we had the terrorist attacks. And so you had some period where the market didn't do very well. And then the next decade was outstanding. And then we hit, or most of the decade, then we hit 2008, and we had that big correction. But since then, the market's been a stellar performer. So when you present people with the facts, then they can develop the confidence to say, hey, the wheels are not coming off, really, in America. So this is an opportunity for me to buy companies that have been, you know, sold off by the pros who move in and out quickly, and I can cherry pick which companies I want to own, and I'm buying them at good prices. That's appealing to everybody, but it's particularly appealing to women.
Now, the other side of this is not the aggressive gambling side of dealing with the markets, but being overly conservative. There's a difference between investing and saving. Saving is certainly very important. I don't know how you invest if you don't save. But at the same time, some folks never really get out there and take any risk at all.
Well, and I talk about that the biggest risk is not the investing, it's the not investing. You know, I wrote in my column a few weeks ago about a woman named Stephanie Mucha, and she is 97 years old, and, you know, we'd all love to have a 97-year investment career. But what's so remarkable about her is that she saves like a fiend, but then she invests profit. So at her peak earnings, she made $23,000 a year. She retired in 1994. So even then, that wasn't a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And she has a portfolio that's currently at $2.5 million, and she's already given away $3.5 million. So, you know, we can make ourselves wealthy by investing. It's difficult to save your way to wealth, particularly now where, you know, the interest rate levels are so low. So that's why I want women to be thinking about companies that they can own for a lifetime. You don't obviously invest all of your money because you need it for emergencies. But if you set proper goals, then you can start accumulating enough wealth to invest. And it takes very little, as you know. You can buy a share. You don't have to buy 100 shares like you used to. So it's accessible to just about everyone.
So having an investment strategy, an investment discipline is essential. What happens if you get knocked off of that investment discipline? Life happens.
You fall off the wagon. Yeah. I tell a story about that. I bought Starbucks in 2008 when the company had sold off. It had declined about 30%. It settled. I watched. I met all my criteria. Great company, industry leader, owns the franchise. I bought it at 31. I got busy with life. I was, you know, getting my kids ready to go off to college and, you know, running around. And it went down to 8. And I would hope that if I'd have been paying attention, I would have had the courage, as I usually do, to buy more. But I didn't. I didn't even really know. And since that time, I just left the stock. And now, as you know, Starbucks is in, I don't know where it is today, but it's more than doubled from that level. And I've earned 15.5% per year since 2008 just by buying a great company and not being scared out of it. And market's up about 5 or 6% a year in that same period. And if I'd bought some at the bottom, I'd be up 61% a year. But I didn't. And that's okay, because I'm satisfied with 15.5% a year. And I could have the confidence to hold on to it because it's a great company. And it's a dominant player.
What do you consider some of the attributes of a great stock or a great investment?
So I want to own companies that are industry leaders, because if they don't have the latest technology or the new thing, they can acquire it. I want to own companies that have strong management teams, and that's something that you learn through observation. So you don't always know that immediately, but if you're a customer, you know, Peter Lynch once said, you can be a successful investor if you've mastered fifth grade math. So I think investors like to make things more complicated, but you buy what you know. So if you're a Costco junkie, you know, you might want to take a look at that stock, or if you shop at Nordstrom or drink Coca-Cola or whatever your buying habits are, those are good places to start, where you know the service level of the company, you know the quality of the product. And then I teach women how to do some sort of cursory valuation work. And there's so much data available that, you know, anybody can do it now. Stuff that I used to pay $1 million a year for is available on Yahoo Finance or Bloomberg.com. So it's very easy to find out, you know, how the stock is trading compared to its peers. And I talk a little bit about price-earnings ratios and compare it to its, kind of like the price per square foot you pay for your house. It's not more than that. It's a measure that tells you how expensive a stock is compared to another one. You know, how expensive a house is compared to another one when I look at the price per square foot. So it's all pretty easy. It's basic. I want to buy companies that aren't very expensive on a price earnings ratio, the cheapest house on the street, you know, on a really mm-hmm. good street. And then go from there. So those are just a few of the criteria I use.
You include in the book some intelligent investing rules. And as we continue our conversation, I want to find out more about some of those rules. That's okay. In the book, The Women's Guide to Successful Investing by Nancy Tingler. The Women's Guide to Successful Investing. We will continue our conversation in just a moment. Money Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with Nancy Tingler. She is the author of a new book, The Women's Guide to Successful Investing. And she is also a weekly columnist for the Arizona Republic. She writes Your Financial IQ. She's been at this for quite some time. Worked with UBS for many years and has been listed as one of Money Magazine's best women investors. The new book, The Women's Guide to Successful Investing. You include some investing rules, intelligent investing rules, and there are 11, actually 12, I think. You throw in a bonus. Of those investing rules, what would be among the tops?
Well, the first one we discussed is having an investment discipline is better than having no discipline at all. And then once you establish your discipline, you stick with it. So a lot of investors are tempted to turn to growth stocks when they're really naturally value investors. The second one that I think is really important is, I call it, don't run with the fast crowd. Establish a discipline that meets your objectives. So when we hear people talk on TV, and I was one of those pundits, you know, they'll be recommending their favorite stocks, but they don't know if those stocks meet your objectives, and nor do you. You need to be focused on the ones that meet your risk objectives and your long-term return objectives. What are you saving and investing for? When are you going to need this money? And then they also tend to talk on these, on many of the financial shows, about, you know, the latest exciting stocks, so the Teslas and the Netflix and the Chipotles of the world. And those may or may not be suitable for you. I always get questions, should I buy Tesla? And I don't answer those questions because it depends on what your investing discipline is and what your objectives are. So we all kind of want to get swept into the, I mean, I think we're all gamblers a little bit. And so we think, well, maybe I'll buy this and it'll triple. But my caution is don't do that. Don't be tempted. Don't run with the fast crowd. Stick with what you know.
It's a marathon more than a sprint.
It's a marathon. That's well said. And the market is also, my third rule is, or the fifth rule is, it's a tug of war between fear and greed. So you want to learn how to buy from fearful sellers and sell to greedy buyers. And this is only possible if you have a discipline, because it gives you the confidence. And, you know, everyone's a little nervous right now, but this might just be a great buying opportunity. And that's what we need to remain aware of as investors.
You've worked as a financial advisor. Is it best to use a financial advisor, or does do-it-yourself work?
I think both. I have a chapter in the book called If You're Going to Hire a Professional Investment Advisor, Let's Make Sure You Hire the Best One. And then there's a subheading, you really can do this on your own, but for those of you who won't follow these guidelines, I think at the very least, being aware makes you a better client. So some people are going to be comfortable. Some women will be willing, and men, to manage their own portfolios. I am, but some aren't. However, if they read the book, they're going to have the insight on whether or not their advisor's doing the job, a good job for them, and what questions they should be asking in the future. And I actually think if that's all you get out of the book, that's well worth it.
Yeah, being prepared, going in, knowing a little bit of what you want to achieve, even if you are working with a financial advisor, that's just going to make that relationship so much smoother.
More productive. Absolutely. That's absolutely right, Sinclair.
Nancy Tingler, the book is The Women's Guide to Successful Investing, Achieving Financial Security and Realizing Your Goals. The Women's Guide to Successful Investing. And you have a website as well, nancytingler.com?
Yes, that's right.
And that's spelled T-E-N-G-L-E-R, nancytingler.com. The new book, The Women's Guide to Successful Investing by Nancy Tingler. And also look for the articles in the Arizona Republic each week, Your Financial IQ by Nancy Tingler. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sinclair. It was a great exchange. Thank you.